The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company.
Every week, your Bengals beat writers, fantasy football failure Fletcher Page and Paul Dana Jr. take you inside Paul Brown Stadium.
We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, I'm always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. All right, welcome in to the latest edition of the sad, awful, depressing walkout.
You got some high energy for this set.
I know, you're right. We did. This was hard to do. Full disclosure, took about 8 takes to not crack up and laugh when we did. We tried to be the most sad, low energy, depressing wrap up video that we could do. You couldn't hold it in.
There was something hilarious about how depressing you were.
Yeah, I know. I'm usually a high energy guy, but to try to keep it low and stay sad and give a really worthless crap performance, it was surprisingly hard. You've got to try to be as bad as the Bengals have been. You got to really try.
Yeah, and on that video, you know, I tried to mess up a few stats. I had a few flubs.
Yeah, you want a flub. You needed a dozen flubs for 100 yards is what you needed to really make it fair. In case you didn't know, because maybe you decided you'd rather rake leaves or stick forks in your eyeballs, the Bengals lost to the Broncos 24-10 on Sunday. It was not particularly close. It was not particularly interesting. It was exactly as you thought it would go. Von Miller and Bradley Chubb pretty much decapitated Jeff Driskel on many occasions. And Philip Lindsay ran for a bunch, and the Bengals rush defense still can't stop a soul, and that's pretty much that.
That's right. A.J. Green went out. Ugh. Perhaps maybe for the rest of the season.
I think that's the last we'll see of A.J. Green this year. I mean, he tries to come back, and I mean, it was immediate. The same thing basically happened back in 2014 when he tried to come back from this injury in a practice, non-contact, just trying to push off and went down. It ended up putting him out longer. But at this point, let's say he is healthy in 2-3 weeks. We know AJ wants to play, and Lord knows we're going to go down that path that you did in Houston a couple years ago again. But what is the point? He feels like he'll be the next guy on IR right now.
Either, or maybe Cordy Glenn.
Or Cordy Glenn, yeah, as this team kind of just cascades back to elimination. So I guess this ends up at the same place it does every time, because anybody that's still listening to this thing at this point in the season only has one question. We all only have one question.
Fire him!
Oh, man, mad Bengals fans. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Look, it's how many lifeless, pathetic performances does a team have to put forth until it just can't be more obvious? And we've been saying it. It just has to happen. I thought there was no way it couldn't last year, and here we are.
Right.
It's the only thing that makes you think. Only the ridiculousness of last year makes me think that it wouldn't happen. Because where they're at right now is just, it's awful. And the fans have spoken. That's one of the biggest things.
Yeah, right. I mean, with the attendance is awful. But worse than the empty seats is how many Browns fans there were, how many Broncos fans there were.
Yeah. That was the wrong shade of orange, a lot of the fans. So this was actually the lowest tickets distributed attendance number since 2011, but they were somewhere in the range of about 7,000 less than that number. So your butts in the seats ended up almost pretty close to dead on half of the capacity here. And a lot of those were Broncos fans. Oakland is going to be an absolute ghost town. Last year against Detroit on Christmas Eve, I thought that was the smallest crowd I'd ever see. I think we might see something worse against the Raiders, because there's not... Do Raiders fans even exist anymore? And they definitely don't travel. And no Bengals fans want to see this again. They're speaking with their wallets and with their attendance, trying to send a message to Mike Brown right now. And I do think, I totally believe that has an effect on Mike. He does see the empty stadium. He does see what's happened in the stands. And I do think that affects him. And I do think that will affect the decision. And I do think Bengals fans staying home and making it as ugly as possible against Oakland will make a difference. Potentially.
Look, this is my first Marvin watch.
Right.
This is not very enjoyable. But like you said, the only thing that I could think of, that the only reason that makes me think it won't happen is because it didn't happen last year.
Yeah.
But you can't stack up two Decembers like that.
Three.
I would think three. And survive, right?
Like 16 years worth of them?
Well, you know, you always go back.
No, yeah, you could point. There was always something you could point to. And at this point, it's why I wrote for Sunday. Will he be able to point to injuries and say, yeah, but they were 4-1, blah, blah, blah. I mean, yeah, but they're so lifeless. Bengals fans everywhere.
Stale.
It's everything about it. Yeah, it's you know. So what? Anyway, the questions will now continue. The speculation will continue. The Nationals will continue to weigh in. The latest was the Ian Rappaport report that came out before the game. That Marvin, it's a team option for next year. I mean, we've said this, I think, in this very parking garage the last couple of weeks, that I have never, ever gotten the impression that this front office gave a crap about the second year of this contract or what it might cost or anything like that as part of this decision. That was not a factor. It was strictly a fact of if they believe that Marvin would give them the best chance of winning going forward. Look, I don't really know what else you can even say about this team. LA Chargers should dismantle them pretty easily next week.
That'd be 7 out of 8, 5 in a row.
The only question to me is, will they beat Oakland? And that'll be the only win you see left.
Man.
But whatever,
dude. You're just bumming me. I'm just bumming.
I'm sorry. I know people like been telling me, oh man, it's so depressing. Walkout's so depressing. That's because what the walkout is in the principle of the walkout. Is it's all about just letting it all out on your way out of the stadium. And this is how people are talking leaving these stadiums these days. Those that actually come. Yeah.
But this is what it feels like in the locker room after the game.
That was the quickest I've ever seen a locker room clear out. Honestly, I'm trying. It made me have to try to think back to some. In recent years, I cannot remember one clearing out that fast with people gone that quickly and just wanting no part of this. No one wants to talk about it. Players are embarrassed by it.
And there's really...
There's no explaining
right,
it.
Right, there's nothing left to say.
There's nothing, no explaining. Yeah.
It's there.
And I think they're... What's being said and not said and lack of presence. And I mean, Marvin sat at the press conference. He didn't know what to say. He sat down to give his little pre-babble, usually recaps like the first two drives till he forgets what happens after that. He didn't even know what to say. And that's, what do you say? When you've been sitting up there trying to explain away this stuff for how long, and you know people are getting sick of hearing do your job and plow your crops and harvest your meals and whatever the hell else you got to do, and just you look in your own mirrors and... It's like that stuff is so old, and even he knows it's old and stale, and you can't say that anymore, and it leaves you with nothing to say. Nothing left to say. Anybody else, I would say a vast majority of other franchises, Marvin wouldn't be there Monday. tomorrow.
I think you're right.
He made a big deal last, of you let them run the race. You don't judge them before the race is over. That was a whole bit. I can pull those quotes out and pull them back out about feeling the need to let someone complete everything and then sit down when the season ends and talk about it. I still think that's where we're at, and that's why we're circling the drain for the next 4 weeks. But whatever, this is what the Bengals season is.
I guess we can maybe lengthen my minute with Kanye on the other podcast. That can take up some time.
Yeah, I'm saddened about the fact that I had to listen to a minute and a half of Katy Perry describing what her song "Circle the Drain" is about. It's about two anvils that are on you, and there's so much pressure, and you feel helpless. Like, you can't stop it. You just can't do anything about it. They just continue to pressure you down, and you just can't do anything about it. And I just thought that, you know what, Katie? You know what, KP? That's just about right. That's just about right for this game. You're going to make my song of the game. But that meant I had to watch her description of that song about her venting.
Yeah, I do think that the anvil here in this situation, I mean, you could call it, you could say it's Mar, but it's really just about the anvil is the impending future and the moves that you know that you've got to make. That's what the anvil is.
And complete fright that they're not going to make.
And that they're not going
to
make
it. Or they're going to make the wrong one, a.k.a. move to Hugh.
Oh, that's the second anvil.
Hashtag move to Hugh.
That's why there's two anvils.
That's why there's two anvils, because it's Marv and Hugh who's in the building now.
Right. The first one is getting rid of one thing, and the second one is not making a mistake once you're moving forward.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought Katy Perry comparing herself to Alanis Morissette.
Oh, everyone she did call it her Alanis Morissette moment.
That's yeah. Right. It's a bit of a stretch.
This is not Jagged Little Pill.
Still tough to swallow.
What, did you side with Dave Coulier in that?
I don't have time to go into. I was in third grade then, all right?
Look, it was serious. That was a big deal in the Canadian world, man. That was like two very, very famous Canadians in a relationship that failed.
Well, I always, look, sometimes when you go through a breakup, you feel like you come through it better on the other side. You learn a lot. It's kind of like Billy Price and his penalties or something, you know? You got a younger player, you think he's going to keep working. But this circumstance we've got going here, I'm not really sure what we're even talking about anymore, but there is no coming out the other side.
No. All right, time to end it. We get to go to LA next week. That's all right. Good food, good meals. I know some good people out there, so do you. So looking forward to that. We'll watch a game in a soccer stadium that won't have anybody in it, so that'll feel familiar kind of.
Yeah. I'll be comfortable in that environment. Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening to The Walkout. Keep it locked to Cincinnati.com. We'll keep covering the circle as it goes down and down and down. We end up at the final decision, and we'll keep looking into that and asking the questions that need to be asked and everything that you demand of us. So we'll plow our crops and not the other person's, and we'll look in mirrors and we'll definitely do our job. I mean, you got to do your job. So
certainly.
All right. We'll talk to you later.